What is up, y'all? It is your girl Chanel, aka Shay Chanel. Today is actually Tuesday, April 2nd. Happy April, everyone. Welcome back to season 4, episode 4 of the Candid Talk with Chanel podcast. You see, I remembered to do the intro this time because I just dived in last time, y'all, and went in. When I tell you, after a while, I felt like I blacked out and was just talking. It wasn't until I played the episode back, I was like, I said all of that with such passion, and that must have been the Holy Spirit taking over, especially when I was talking about all the crazy entertainment business stuff. But I'm going to veer off of that today. Maybe I do need to create a niche podcast that as a space where I can really like talk about those kinds of things, and you know, that would attract the audience and the crowd of people who are interested in those kinds of conspiracy theories, for lack of a better term, if you will. But yeah, I was going in. But I want to talk about something different today. We're going to take it back to like my psychology roots from my day one A1s who would watch my videos on YouTube, my complex simplicity videos. I would speak a lot about just my observations and experiences of human behavior. And I kind of want to get into a little bit of that today. So we're going to leave the entertainment business alone just for a little bit. I will be lying if I make it seem as though I will never revisit that topic, because I will. It's something that is happening in a territory and a world in an industry or career space that I am embarking upon, if you will. So it'll always have moments and maybe even some dedicated episodes, but I will try my best to balance it so it's not so heavy on that. So yeah, today is like a real dreary, typical spring day. I feel like it was like this the last time I was chopping it up with y'all. But that's spring for you, right? I can't complain. We did not have a harsh winter at all. And I'm thankful for that. Maybe that's that good old global warming thing happening, where our winters have not been harsh in a long time, if I'm keeping it real. We didn't even have a lot of snow this winter or last winter. May I even dare to say, or the winter before that. So I am definitely not complaining, but it is one of those rainy days. And it's crazy because I really do need to go grocery shopping, and I've been finding myself having groceries delivered to the house, which is a great thing, but it's an expensive thing. You're paying for fees, delivery fees, service fees, tips. It's just like, I just prefer to go to the grocery store on my own. But being how, you know, we are no longer a two-car family at this point, we should be one those very soon, Lord willing, but currently we are not a two-car family. So, you know, it's not as easy to do those kinds of runs. The little one is actually downstairs sleeping. He didn't seem like himself yesterday. And that's one thing as a mom, you know, when your child is not well. He sounded a bit congested when he was sleeping yesterday throughout the night, and he was himself, but he wasn't. And that's one thing, it's just this natural born instinct that we have as mothers that is so amazing, where you know when your child's not right. So I noticed last night he was coughing a lot, and he was feeling warm, meaning his temperature, off and on throughout the day. So, you know, I gave him some ibuprofen, you know, for kids, that's like a fever reducer. And then I had to run out at like 4 a.m. to go to CVS. Thank God the CVS in my neighborhood or in my area is 24 hours. I love that. And I am the weirdo kind of person, even if my son wasn't sick, that would like go, like as long as my husband was home and not working, I would like go to CVS at like 2, 3, 4 a.m. easily, right? But I definitely, it came in clutch yesterday. It came in such it was so handy, I should say, with me being able to just run out to the store and get cough medicine for him, as well as I got Tylenol this time. They didn't have the ibuprofen fever reducer and pain and stuff like that. So I gave him some when he woke up today, and it seemed like it knocked him out. So he's downstairs sleeping, and I was able to finish my major or most of my major tasks with my job today. So I said, while I have a couple of moments with the baby sleeping, or he's not a baby, but with Link sleeping, and with, you know, my boss not needing me to do so much right now, let me talk to the people. Let me see what's good, what's up with y'all, and tell y'all what's up with me. So that's the mom front update. You know, we're still going through our tussles, if you will. but it's just part of the stage that he is in. And thankfully last week was definitely challenging. This week was somewhat challenging, not as challenging. So I'm just thankful for that. You know, of course it's nothing that I can't handle, but whew, sometimes it just be a lot, you know? So yes, that's what's going on with the little man. So just say a prayer for him. You know, I'm just trying to make sure that he doesn't really get sick. That's the thing with this spring weather. It could go either way with the germs and the different things that are out there and the weather being so damp, you know. So prayerfully, he'll be okay. If you hear me pausing a little bit, it's just for me to listen out to see if he's woken up or whatever. So I didn't really update y'all on my fitness journey. From August up until, dare I say, January, I was not on my fitness job like I usually am, or my fitness game like I usually am. I mean, I'm always walking and like dancing and getting cardio in that way, but my body's so accustomed to that. It's imperative for me to like cycle. I love to cycle on my Peloton bike, and I got back at it early February and have been at it ever since. And I'm just so glad, aside from just, you know, trying to trim down, and, you know, once you're 40, ladies, as I always say, as many people always say, it's harder to lose the weight. Your body changes again. And my body has never been the same after having a child, as many mothers out there, I'm sure, you know, can empathize with and understand. Just even from my own frustration tolerance, I might have mentioned this in this content or maybe in a live that I did, but just from my frustration tolerance, working out is just great. As we know, the endorphins gets the going. It gives you that euphoric feeling that is necessary. I feel like when I'm exercising, I'm able to really have a clear head and mind, and it helps me in all the other things that I do. It helps me to make, you know, whatever decisions I need to make, mull things over. Like, my mind is going a million beats a minute, but in a good way when I'm working out. And it also provides me just with an escape to just zone out and just do something for myself, right? As a work from home mom, it's not an easy thing. And it's very rare that I get to just have a moment for myself. And sometimes, or a lot of times, my son is right downstairs in the den with me when I'm working out. And, you know, he's watching his educational shows and playing with his toys and stuff. But, you know, there are those moments where I'm able to just be by myself and just completely zone out and do what I need to do. But I've noticed that I've been in a better headspace as far as my frustration tolerance and managing any stressors or challenges, like the stage my son is in. You know, it helps me to have just a little bit more patience. So it's imperative for me to work out for more reasons than one. And of course, the goal is to slim down. And it's amazing. I've been working out back at it with the spinning, with the cycling, consistently for about 7 weeks now. And I've already been seeing the changes, and I'm just encouraged by that and happy by that. And then as an artist, it's important for me to be able to build stamina, you know, when singing, and especially like when I performed 88 Love, y'all. 88 Love, it's one of those beats, them boom bap beats. It makes you want to dance. And then you realize, but I'm singing simultaneously. So I have all the respect in the world for the artists out there who are able to do the two seamlessly, right? There were points where I had to remind myself to fall back a little bit because it was making the vocals sound a little shaky, right? And so, you know, just me continuing to build my stamina and my cardio, you know, is always a good thing, and it helps me within my artistry as well. And by the time I had shot the video and I put out that quick little sizzle for the 88 Love video that'll be out later in the week, that was after me spinning or cycling for about 2 to 3 weeks. And I already saw the changes and the differences in the video because you already know, y'all, the camera gives you 10 pounds out here, right? And I was already in a fluffy state that I was trying to get out of. But I was comforted in knowing that, girl, you looked pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I was also able to take my own personal notes about how different fabrics and different outfits show up on camera. And so when I shoot my next video, you know, how to make it better as far as the fashion goes or the fit with the fashions, how they fit my body and stuff. So this is just all such a learning curve. Even when I did, you know, do my live set at that Spotlight Gospel open mic in Rock Hill, South Carolina, the jacket that I wore, this was my first time trying out Shein for what I wore in my video and for what I wore for that performance. And I didn't know how to order. You know, I tend to always size up with these kinds of companies. But I sized up too much because, like, that jacket was way too big for me. I had to get my jeans tailored because they were way too big from what I ordered them as. Even though I wanted them to have a loose, relaxed fit, I still didn't want them to be as baggy as they were, so I was able to get the jeans tailored. But that jacket that I wore for that performance was way too big, and it almost on camera made me look bigger than what I actually am. And so it's just taking notes of all of those kinds of things, you know what I'm saying, and the visuals of everything when you're styling yourself and when you're at that level of your artistry where you're doing a lot on your own. You know, what looks good in person may not always look good on camera. I will say, in person, I believe that at that performance, I looked nice, but on camera, that jacket might have made me look bigger than what I was, especially as I'm moving around and singing and stuff, you know? So yeah, all the things. This has just been a crash course and a great experience in and of itself. You know, I have some other cool things coming up, you know, this month, as well as next month, and I'm just looking forward to the next moment that my team and I travel and hit the road again. You know, we had to kind of reschedule when we were gonna go. So we'll be going at some point this spring. We'll be back hitting the road, but I got some other things on the agenda to do. And as y'all know, I'm not gonna just be putting stuff out there like that. As it happens, you'll see it. Sometimes you gotta keep things close to the chest, and I'm really not naturally that kind of a person, but I'm recognizing, yeah, I have to be. It's almost like you have to be, right? Because you just never know the intentions of people out there, and you just never know what people are speaking in existence when it comes to you. As we all know, words are powerful. And so the less that people know, the better, right? Whoever needs to know will know. And then when everybody else finds out, you'll find out. So that's the update on the artistry front. What I wanted to talk about today is I was reminded of just remembering and the importance of giving grace to your loved ones, especially when it comes to their personalities and their needs, right? The same way I would want someone to give me grace when it comes to my personality and my needs. You know, I am a very verbal person. It is not a difficult thing for me to express myself. When I don't like something, I'm going to speak up about it. When I love something, I'm going to speak up about it. You know, I'm one of those almost holds no bars kind of people. But my delivery and my approach and how I strive to frame things, I would like to think, makes it easier for the person on the receiving end to receive what I'm saying, whether that is me expressing love or me expressing concern, right? Or anything in between. I do recognize with my own personality that I do have this harshness that comes with me. And growing up, you know, I grew up with a mother who could be very matter of fact. And I think that the way I am matter of fact can come off as being harsh at times. And it is something that I'm often trying to work on because I even see it coming out in my parenting. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to be the mom that's like too harsh with her son and it causes him to have all these issues, you know what I'm saying? Or insecurities or things like that. So I've been, you know, asking the Lord to help me to really edit, and be cognitive and aware of, or cognizant and aware of my harshness and how that can affect people. And I believe that God has this as a test for me on a regular basis, because I feel like I'm surrounded by sensitive people, right? And sensitive people out there, I don't want you to feel badly about being sensitive. I think society kind of puts the stank on it as if being sensitive is actually a bad thing. And it's not. You're just sensitive. You may be a little more in touch with your feelings, or you may feel what you feel more deeply than others. My son is super sensitive. My husband is sensitive. I have friends who are sensitive, right? And so it's almost as if God is like, I'm surrounding you with people who are sensitive, because this is something that you need to master, how to combat the harshness that you have at times, and just be empathetic and give people grace. And you can still, if you're expressing concern, be honest and say what you need to say, but it's all in how you say it and how you do it, right? And I was reminded of that, you know, just the managing of personalities, right? Constantly, just in our human interactions, we are constantly around different people who have different personalities and different needs and different idiosyncrasies and different issues and different strengths, right? Different challenges of life, different traits, different all kinds of things, us included, me included, right? And I just want to be able to really just give people grace. And like I said, to be able to express what is necessary, because we can't avoid it in life. Those uncomfortable, difficult conversations have to happen in marriages and friendships and familyships and co-workerships and professional settings, all types of places, right? But just being able to frame things in a way where the person is going to walk away actually hearing what it is that you're saying and hopefully receiving it and not becoming defensive and things of that nature, right? And I was just reminded that, you know, frustration tolerance is something that a lot of us can struggle with, right? I even see with myself, I have great frustration tolerance with adults, with people outside of my home. But if I'm being honest, when it comes to my son at this stage, my frustration tolerance, I realize, could be better, right? You know, so we all have little things, you know, that we can work on just in our day-to-day human interactions. And so, you know, like I said, for whatever reasons, I'm surrounded by people who are sensitive in my own household and people just in my life and in my world, friends, family, you know, and just being able to love them. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, for someone, I don't really consider myself to be sensitive, or overly sensitive. I do take constructive criticism and feedback rather well. I've been forced to with the types of industries that I've worked in. I sound like a ricky broken record, as I say. Y'all know I was in social work, I was in luxury retail, and now I am in real estate. And these are all industries that are harsh, if you will, right? Nobody's sparing your feelings. They're literally, when you hear me say constructive criticism, you're literally being criticized, quote unquote, constructively, right? More so meaning it's nothing personal, but these are the critiques that I have for your work performance, right? And so for so many years of my life, I have been in these kinds of industries, which could have also made me more harsher than I naturally was, if I'm being honest. But so I would like to think that I'm not this sensitive person. Once again, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. That's a bad stigma that's been put out there. However, if I am being honest, for someone with my personality type, sometimes it can be a little exhausting. That's the word that I'll use, or frustrating at times when you are in some form of a friendship, familyship, or relationship with someone who is sensitive, right? Because I find that the sensitive people that I know in my life, or the sensitive people that I have worked with in my life, in my different professional settings, they seem to take everything personally, right? And so I think that's the part for me that could feel a little exhausting, because not everything is an attack against you. And I'm not saying them feeling as though them taking things personally at the hands of me, just if they're venting to me or expressing whatever they're going through to me with someone else or in a different situation, you know, as I'm listening and being as empathetic as I can be, if I'm being honest, sometimes I'm just like, it's not that serious in my mind, but I know not to say that, right? That's one of the worst things you can say, to be like, it's not that serious, or get over it, or like, stop being so sensitive. Like, those are the worst things you can say to someone who is sensitive, right? So, you know, I just try to frame it like, a lot of times when we know that we haven't done anything to someone to warrant their response towards us or their treatment of us, a lot of times you have to chalk it up as, that is that person's stuff and I'm not owning it, right? And I even had to learn that in life. Oh, here goes the little one. I'll be back, y'all. What is up, y'all? Sorry for that. In all reality, it feels like just 1 or 2 seconds for you all that I kind of like dipped out, but it was a couple of hours that passed by. My son had woken up, you know, he's a little under the weather, and so I had to go back downstairs with him. I was able to put him to sleep, back to sleep, and then I ended up dozing off with him, and then my husband comes home and he's like, he went grocery shopping and started cooking, blasting music, so now the house is quiet again, so I'm back. Man, I have never taken so many naps in my life as an adult since I've had a child, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Back to what we were talking about. So yes, I was reminded this week, as far as just the sensitive people that are in my life. And like I said, anyone who is sensitive that may be listening to this, I don't want you to feel as if there is something wrong with that. I said before, there seems to be this societal stigma behind being sensitive, but it's not. And then society also puts this other twist on it as, if you're sensitive, you're an empath. And you know, I had to do a little digging to see if being an empath is even something that's biblical or scriptural. And from what my research has showed me, it isn't. It's more of a new aged way, if you will. And a lot of new aged ways are attached to things that are not of God. So I wouldn't even go down that rabbit hole as far as saying if you're very sensitive or highly sensitive, you're it's a gift, you're an empath. You know, I do believe it is a gift to be able to feel what you're feeling and feel it intensely. What I will say to my fellows, to my sensitive folks out there, is really, you know, if you're finding that you take everything personal, right? If someone is joking with you and they're purely joking with you and you're taking it personally, or if someone makes a comment and you take it personally, you know, they can make a broad statement or a broad comment, but you seem to take it personally, you know, that maybe, I was watching this TikTok of this young lady, her name slips my mind, is something Rainbow, my apologies. And she was just saying that she is a very sensitive person, and she found that her nature of being so sensitive, especially in this particular phase of her life, was rooted in insecurity and her not really loving herself the way that she should. And so I would say, I'm not going to say that everyone who is sensitive, that's the root of it and that's the basis of it. No, but I would just challenge you or encourage you to, if you're finding that you're taking 98% of what people say to you personally, you know, maybe sit and ask yourself why and try to figure out what it actually is rooted in, that level of sensitivity that you're experiencing and why you're taking everything so personally. You know, now we all know that there are those folks out there who, you know, they'll throw a quick dig at you where you're like, is this person trying to play me? Is this person not trying to play me? Or they'll make passive aggressive comments about you or to you. I get that, right? I think that there are those instances where you can tell this person is intentionally trying to put me down or trying to play me or trying to like talk slick out their mouth, if you will. But I also do believe that a lot of the times that's not the case, right? And what I use, and I know different things work for different people. I'm not going to say that the strategy that I use is the holy grail of what you should do, but it works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. You know, just did I do something to this person? Or did my actions lend itself in a way that this person can perceive that I was being shady, being passive aggressive, you know, trying to play them, being disrespectful? Did I actually do something underhanded? And if my answer to those questions is absolutely not, then that tells me that this is more of this person's stuff and I'm not going to own it and I'm not going to wear it and I'm not going to take it on, if you will, you know? And that's how I'm able to release myself from even going down that rabbit hole of like, you know, taking something personally. If I know that I didn't do anything to this person, you know, then I'm like, oh, that's their stuff, you know, because as humans, if we're not careful, we spew out our own issues, we project our own issues and don't even realize it, you know? And that's like, that could be a tricky thing because I remember I've had a loved one or two in my life where, you know, because they were so passionate about what they were saying and because, you know, they genuinely, for the most part, come from a very true and pure place. If you weren't careful, you could allow them to put a battery in your back. But when you boil down to what they were saying or how they were responding to a situation, it was like, no, I'm not doing that, or I'm not taking that on, or I'm not feeling that way, you know, I'm not agreeing with that. Like, that's your stuff, you know what I'm saying? And it gets real tricky when it's someone that you really love and care about, someone that you respect, someone that you value the relationship that you have with them, you know, when they project, you know, certain things, or they start to speak out insecurities or different things as if it's something that you're dealing with when it's not something that you're dealing with. It's very much so something that they're internally dealing with, you know, and being able to recognize that and not let their concerns, their insecurities, their thought process infiltrate your mind. And then you take that on, you know. So human behavior is just such a fascinating thing, which is why I decided to study it in college, because the mind, the way God has made us and how complex our brains are and just how we are, how we have all been put together. It's fascinating. This is why I'll never understand why people will credit our existence to science and like the Big Bang Theory and stuff, because it's just too intricate. It's just too fascinating and amazing what the human body, the human mind is capable of. And, you know, and so I'm always intrigued by just human behavior, and I always dissect my interactions. I dissect myself probably more than others, but, you know, just observing just how we move and why we move the way we move, why we do the things we do, say the things we say, respond the way we respond to outside stimuli, other people, our environments, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I always say the proof is in the pudding. I don't really go by what people say. I go by what your behaviors and how you move, what it tells me, because the body and the mind is so fascinating that it doesn't matter if what we're saying, it sounds good and all, it sounds great, but if your behavior is not matching up to it, then there is a disconnect and there's a reason why there's a disconnect, you know? And that's why I say to people, I probably said this in this space before, that, you know, I used to always say to my husband, like, social media is fascinating to me when it comes to human behavior, because if there's anything that you were wondering or questioning with somebody, you'll be able to tell with even how they're behaving
on social media, and vice versa. People will be able to tell certain things with you, with me, with how we or I are conducting ourselves on social media, what we post, the types of things we choose to post. Why is it that we're posting these things, right? You know, not realizing what we're actually saying about ourselves, right? Or about our state of mind or whatever, you know? And you know, it's so crazy. That's why I was always able to tell if there was weird energy with a friend or acquaintance and I by how they would move and like, you know, on social media, or how they would treat me on social media, or how they would move around my content and vice versa. Like, it's just so telling, more than people will ever know, you know? But yeah, so, you know, that was on my mind. I had a few encounters with some sensitive loved ones this week, and I'm starting to see, you know, and having to engage and manage and different personalities, you know, just how, and when I say manage, not like I'm a boss or anything like that, but just, you know, when you have different people in your life, how you're kind of like engaging with all of the different personalities of the people that you have in your world. It was just a reminder to me to just really make sure around my loved ones who tend to be more sensitive, make sure that I am, as usual, giving grace, but also using some level of discernment with what I'm saying and not saying, right? Because I don't want any of my loved ones to feel as though I am dismissive of them, or I'm just like, you know, oh, get over it. It's not that serious. Why are you being so sensitive? You know, I don't want anyone to feel that way or to feel that from me, you know? And I just kind of encourage, you know, them to just, once again, if you know that you haven't done anything to this person, then that's their stuff. Don't own it. Don't take it on. And you just keep an eye on it. If it becomes a trend in their treatment towards you, you know, then you can decide to have that conversation, you know, if you feel like that's what's needed, or you can decide how often or not you're around said person or people. And then also, you know, just to recognize that sometimes a joke is really just a joke, right? It's not always, you know, I'm one of those people that often say the saying, there's truth in all jokes, which I do firmly believe. But I also believe that sometimes a joke, there are those instances where a joke really just is a joke. And we're all different, and we all may have a different sense of humor. Some senses of humor may not be as funny to us or to some of us as others. Like for me, sarcasm is really not my vibe. It's really not my thing, you know, but I have people in my life who are sarcastic, right? And so, you know, I just learn with them, they're sarcastic. And so their jokes are going to come with sarcasm. There's going to be that there, you know what I'm saying? And not to feel to get too bothered by it or whatever. It's just not my cup of tea, right? I like different types of humor, right? So, you know, but just recognizing, you know, that not everything is to be taken personally. Every comment that is made is not a personal attack against you, you know? Every comment that is made to you doesn't necessarily have this underlying meaning when it comes to you that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? And I get it, right? Because I'm someone who, because I'm such a psychology lover and a human behavior enthusiast when it comes to studying human behavior and just observing human behavior, you know, it could be very easy for me to dig myself down that rabbit hole of wanting to know the why to everything. And it's like, Chanel, you don't need to know the why in everything. There's certain things that you just don't need to know and are better left unbothered and unsaid, you know? So we all have our thing. That's kind of where I lean towards, like, the idiosyncrasies. We all have those quirks with us and about us, you know, that we can kind of, you know, dig ourselves in a deeper hole or take too seriously when we shouldn't. You know, for sensitive people, they may take things very personally. For observant people like myself, you know, I may be a little too curious and too observant, right? I may analyze a little bit too much, you know, I think there was a time in my life where anytime I went through something with someone, it was too easy for me to feel like they were jealous of me. And, you know, that was in my 20s. As the 40-year-old me, it's like, Chanel, not everybody's jealous of you. Like, that's not the reason why you're getting this from this person, right? Sometimes it is just that they're not that interested, or sometimes it really is just that they're going through other things and maybe they are projecting that on you, or sometimes it is that they're jealous. But don't jump to that conclusion and paint everybody with that color paint, because that's not the case all the time. You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's also me being scarred, because in my lifetime I've dealt with stuff like that more than I would like to, where it did turn out that this person or said people did have some level of jealousy towards me, right? But even with that being something that you did experience more than not, it still doesn't mean that that is the cause and the case for every situation and everyone, you know? So we all have those kinds of things. And I just try to do my internal self-checks and my mental self-checks with myself about things, just so that I'm able to look at it from as neutral of, or if possible, or as logical if possible, of a vantage point, right? As a woman, we're naturally more emotional. We're wired to be that way, right? And I recognize that, and I love that in some cases, but I also see how it does need to be balanced with logic, right? Like, I can't be emotional about everything all the time. Like, there does need to be some type of rationality and logical thinking in there. I just can't let my emotions lead me with every decision and the way I see everything and how I deal with everyone. Like, there still has to be a balance there, right? And so I like to, you know, look at myself first in situations and kind of like check myself first, you know, to say, okay, girl, are you just bugging out, you know? Or, you know, are you all in your feelings and emotions right now? Or are you having a sensitive moment right now? And fleshing out those feelings, you know what I'm saying? And those things before I even try to allow myself to jump to certain conclusions. And I notice with some of the sensitive people in my life, I think that they may struggle with editing. Let me not say editing. Sorry, y'all, hear my stomach growling. I'm always hungry, right? Let me not say editing, but they may struggle with assessing within themselves, right? And checking themselves first. Okay, are you just in your feelings because you're having an insecure moment right now? Are you feeling this way because you feel like you're dealing with people who you thought really cared about you and liked you as a person, and come to find out you feel that they don't, right? And that's another thing I want to talk about. I have a loved one in my life who often feels as though people don't like them and don't really have a valid reason, right? And I guess that's such a nuanced and layered thing, because it's almost like, sorry, yeah, my stomach is going off. I'm hungry. I've been like doing like a intermittent fasting kind of thing where I don't eat until now. Oh, I should have eaten about 5 o'clock, 4:30. So my stomach is going off. Like, what are you doing, girl? We're starving, right? But I think it could be a slippery slope, because I believe, what am I trying to say? Or how am I trying to say what I'm thinking? I believe that people can like us and we can like people, but there are certain parts of us and there are certain parts of people that we may not like, and that is okay, right? So let's say I have 20 qualities, and out of my 20 qualities, there are about 15 of them that a majority of the people that I encounter in life like, but there are those 5 qualities that people don't like about me. Like, for me, I'll be the first one to say my harshness, right? If we're close, or we're in close relationship as family, as friends, you know, as partners in life, meaning like a spouse or something, I recognize that my harshness is something that the people who do love me don't necessarily like about me, you know, from time to time. I do also recognize that, especially when it comes to friends, that me expressing myself and what I think and what I feel, and if I didn't like something, is not always a quality of mine that everybody enjoys when they're on the other end of it, if that makes sense, right? As well as, you know, we all have our things. Sometimes, because I am naturally not a needy person like that, not that I don't need anyone, but I'm not a needy person. We all know folks in our lives who we love dearly who are just needy, whether they're needy emotionally, mentally, you know, they're needy. I'm not a needy person. And for some people, they don't like that because there are some people who have a need to be needed and who love to be needed, right? So I recognize that that's a quality of me that, and I've seen this more so in friendships, that some friends or former friends didn't necessarily like about me, you know? So I believe that, yes, there are things about all of us that the people in proximity to us or who we are around on some kind of a consistent basis love about us, but then there are also those things that they don't, and that's okay, right? I also recognize that if you have a need to be liked, that is a slippery slope to be on. That is a slippery hill to be on, right? And it's not to say, because we're human, that we would all be fine going through life being disliked. Like, I'm not saying that either. But if you really have a need to be liked, if someone does something or says something and you automatically equate it to them not liking you, and that really bothers you at the core, like really bothers you to the point where it like affects your day, it like affects your ability to sleep at night, like it pierces you that deeply, I think that that is a slippery hill to be on. Because there's always going to be those few who don't like you, whether they have legitimate reasons or not, you know? And that's where having your self-esteem intact, right? And knowing your value and your worth as a person, knowing the things that you need to work on, because we always have things about us and traits about us that we need to work on, qualities about us that we need to get better and work on, you know? But me knowing who I am at the core and me knowing my value and my worth and appreciating all that God has made me to be and who He's shaping and forming me to be, this person or these few people over here not liking me, especially if I know I didn't do anything to them or even do anything for it to be perceived, I'm not taking that on. Like, that's not going to make my day a horrible day. That's not going to make me lose sleep at night. Now, if I did something or I spoke out of bounds or I was disrespectful, then that's different. Make it right. Put your adult boxer briefs and panties on and make it right. Right. Have the hard conversation and apologize and own up and be accountable. Be self-accountable for however you treated someone or how you did somebody that wasn't great, you know, or right. But if you know you didn't do anything, then I'm not going to own that. But I more so see that more with sensitive loved ones, where because they take so much personally, it's easy for them to draw the conclusion that this person doesn't like me. And it could just be that this person doesn't like this quality or these things about you, or maybe there was a bad taste that was left in their mouth based off of this situation or scenario. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, because like I said, we don't always handle everything the way that we should. You know, sometimes we don't realize what we give. And that's where that self-check, kind of that internal self-check, is so vital, in my opinion, because then you may be a little more apt to know what you're giving off. If there is anything that you're giving off that can be off-putting, you know what I'm saying? That someone can perceive as, oh, I don't know about that person, you know? And sometimes people can catch you during a rough patch in your life where you may not be at your best. You know, you might not have been the warmest, the most pleasant, the most kind, the most loving. It all depends, you know? And we're human. We're going to have missteps, right? But like I said, if we know that we played ourselves and we didn't do right by somebody, then own it, take accountability, and address the situation and make it right. You know what I'm saying? Even if the person doesn't want to deal with you after the fact, at least have the difficult conversation to make it right, you know? But yeah, it's just so interesting. You know, for me as an adult, as a 40-year-old woman, I'm not too concerned about who likes me and who doesn't like me. Right. Because I do try to show up everywhere with warmth and with love and with a great positive attitude. You know what I'm saying? I always say I'm the boundary queen. And that's another thing about me that some people may not enjoy or like, the fact that I'm going to draw boundaries, right? I'm going to show you how to treat me. And in me doing that, it's drawing boundaries. And there's some people who don't like that, you know, but if I know that I didn't do anything that was out of turn, off-putting, disrespectful, and you don't like me, then that's your problem in a sense, right? Like, love is love over here, but you don't like me, that's cool. Some personalities really just don't mesh, right? And so, you know, that's why finding your people and your tribe is such a important thing, you know, especially in adulthood. So, you know, be around the people who you genuinely love and who genuinely love you, you know? Everybody is not for everybody, and we don't have to surround ourselves and try to be in all kinds of circles and with people. You can admire someone from afar and not be in their circle, right? You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, you know? You know, so I've just been really, you know, asking the Lord to continue to help me to maneuver through life with discernment and some level of wisdom, especially as it pertains to human interactions, right? And to just ultimately have a genuine heart of love for everyone, whether we mesh or we don't, but just knowing where my people are, where my tribe is. When I say people, it has nothing to do with race and all that kind of stuff, but just the people who you love and who love you, just knowing who and where they are and, you know, building with them, you know? So yeah, you know, those are just kind of the thoughts on my mind this past week and some of the encounters and conversations that I might've had. Another thing, you know, using myself as an example, people may not love about me is the fact that because I am expressive, you know, I share certain things on this podcast. Now, one thing that you will not see me do is air out who I'm talking about or referring to. Sometimes I am pulling from situations in my inner circle of like family and friends. And sometimes I am pulling from external sources and situations, right? People who I'm not close to, but just something that I've observed. And you know, and I try my best to do it in a way where even my friends because most of my friends know each other, a lot of my family knows my friends and vice versa, where you wouldn't be able to pinpoint who I'm talking about anyway, right? Because I'm not about putting anybody out there or, you know, for me, it's not about the person I'm talking about. It's about the thing that I'm talking about, the topic, right? But in being 1,000% real, 100% real, you know, in order for me to be able to even have these discussions, I'm clearly pulling from a place, right? Whether I'm talking about myself or whether I'm talking about the people around me, and the people around me could be people I work with. It could be people I once worked with. It could be, you know, distant relatives. It can be people I once was friends with, people I'm currently friends with. You know, it's not done in a malicious way or anything like that. But I do believe that, you know, for the kind of topics and discussions that I discuss on this podcast, that it's important for me to pull from real life situations as well. Everything can't be in theory, right? Or so far removed from me, so to speak. But I recognize that there could be loved ones in my life who, even though I'm not mentioning names and giving, you know, incriminating information, if you will, they still may not like it. You know what I'm saying? And I also can understand that, you know, they may be like, dag, that's what she thinks, you know, when it comes to certain things. And I still try to be very diplomatic and use discernment when sharing certain things, but ultimately it's to help, the greater good of it is to help somebody else out there. You know what I'm saying? So I recognize, like, you know, we all have things about us that our loved ones love about us and that they don't like so much, you know? And that's just life. You know what I'm saying? I have loved ones who I love a majority of the qualities that they come with and how they show up in the world, but there may be those one or two or three things that I really don't like, right? But does that change my love for them? No, you know? And so, yeah, it's just interesting to see how, you know, as a woman in my 40s, you know, and around people who are of, you know, the 20s up until the 70s in my life, you know, just how we all handle certain things, how we process certain things, how we behave as adults and young adults and senior citizens, and just how we handle what life throws at us. You know what I'm saying? And that's why for me, you know, really working to develop my relationship with God, it helps to transform my mind in so many ways, right? I've said this before, I used to be on the self-love kick, which I do believe is an important thing, to know your worth and your value and to love who you are. But still, I used to speak of it in terms of a singular thing, right? Where now it's like loving who God has made you to be, trying to step into, sorry if you hear my husband and my child playing downstairs, stepping into who God has called you to be, purposed you to be. It's taking it so much off of me, right? As it being more of a ego thing in a positive way, but just more so, no, like loving who it is that God has created you to be, who he's purposed you to be, who he wants you to be, who he already sees you as, you know what I'm saying? Self-worth in that lens, right? So I've changed my focus and my perspective a bit. It shifted a little bit, you know, from just being love yourself and know your worth and, you know, and all this stuff, whereas I, me in a positive way, right? Not in an arrogant or ego-centric way in a negative sense, but more so just shifting it now to walking into the person that God has created you to be, who he sees you as, who he wants you to be, right? You know, who he has purposed you to be. And in that, you will find your self-worth and the self-love and all the things, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I love about the word and just getting closer with God. It's those little tweaks that can just shift your whole perspective in a totally different way. Not to say that my previous perspective was horrible, once again, but just taking it less off of me and more on who God calls you to be, right? Not who necessarily who you are wanting yourself to be and coming into the person that you've always wanted to be. That's cool. But no, developing into the person that you were created to be, you know what I'm saying? It just hits on a totally different level, you know, when you look at it like that, you know? And, you know, of course, growing is something that we all should be striving to do on the regular, but not just on your own, right? But growing with God, growing in the Word, growing your relationship with him, and then he will help you to develop and to further grow in the areas that he sees you need to grow in, you know? So it's just less self-centered in that sense. And so, you know, so I definitely look at things slightly differently, you know, in developing my relationship more and more with God and really being in my word, you know what I'm saying? And making it a part of my day to day, you know, it's going to shift your perspective about a lot of things in ways you may not even realize in the moment. And then in ways that you see from off the rip, like, oh, wow, like I really changed my perspective, you know? And that helps me with humans and interacting and engaging and managing personalities, right? Because I'm able to manage my own in a sense and edit myself when necessary and have more discernment with what to say, with what not to say, and if I should say anything at all for that matter, you know, and giving people the grace that I often speak about and not taking things so personally and you know, understanding that as opposed to us bickering and fighting and going toe to toe and competing and all this stuff with each other, we trying to take the enemy down. Like there's more work to be done that's more important than the foolishness that we allow ourselves to get caught up in, you know? And that's why, you know, I say, especially when it comes to the kingdom work and the stuff that we're all doing, that is to benefit the kingdom, you know, the things that we're doing and that we're tapping into as it pertains to our God-given purpose, and all that, you know, we have so much other stuff to do than to be caught up with the foolishness. You know, that's what the enemy wants. He wants to conquer and divide, divide and conquer, however you say it. You know, he wants us to be feuding with each other more than we are working together and uplifting each other. He wants us to have feelings of jealousy towards each other. He wants us to take things personally with each other so that it causes a schism in the relationships. Like, he wants all of that. And when you're able to understand and see that everything is so much deeper than what the naked eye can see, and that spiritual warfare is at hand all day, every day, then I find myself having less time entertaining the foolishness, you know what I'm saying, with people. And it just takes your time and your attention and energy away from the things that are most important, if you will, you know? So that's what I mean when I say, like, you know, me really just getting like really getting my relationship to a different place with God. And I'm not all where I should be, but I'm a lot farther than I used to be, you know, even with that, how it's just shifted how I see things, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, so you know, it's just so interesting. But I am intrigued by the human mind and just how we conduct ourselves, how we think and how we see things. And yeah, you know, for me, that'll always be, you know, a fascinating study. You know, I still have all of my textbooks from when I was an undergrad, my psychology books, and every now and then I dust them off and I read them. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially when I find myself, you know, really trying to understand certain human behavior that we all have, you know. But yeah, y'all, it's just so interesting. It's so interesting. It really is. So as y'all know, some of you may know, some of you may not know, I did put out my video 88 Love. I think I said this in the beginning of this podcast, and it was such a great experience. Shout out goes to everybody that played a part in it, to my cousin Jonelle. She was my videographer, Gaza Twins Productions. Go follow her on Instagram. Her and her twin sister are amazing. My cousins are in their early to mid-20s and they are so accomplished and just so awesome. She is a videographer and she does a lot of she does photography and like other kinds of like computer graphics and media type stuff. And her sister is a DJ and they move and shake out here, y'all, like nobody's business. And, you know, I tend to hire her when I'm trying to shoot visuals. I've hired her to shoot visuals for stuff that Denise and I did with Move with Finesse. And like, you know, anytime I think of a music video, I think of my cousin first. Like, I'm the kind of person where we all know very talented people. We all have very talented people in our lives, you know, one way or the other. And I love working with my cousin. Not only is she super talented, but she's also uber professional, and that is very important to me. And so it's a no-brainer for me to hire her anytime I need visuals of any sorts. And it was a great experience. So shout outs to her. Shout outs to my team, of course. You know, I always got to show them love. My manager, Bev, Denise, who's my road manager, among other things, and Ms. Lynn, who is my marketing and promotions pinpoint person on my team. And a shout outs to my friends, right? You know, Myrina Bina, Lorena came through, Monique came through, Erin came through. They didn't even bat their eyes twice when I asked them if they'd be a part of my video, and they showed up and they showed out, and it was such a great time, such positive attitudes and energy, and it was great, right? So we should be dropping that video in its totality by the end of the week. But thank you for all the love that I've been getting for the sizzla, the sneak peek that we put out. I really, really appreciate it. Like I said, I'm not the person who gets lots of views, on social media, but I saw it was almost at 150 views on TikTok, at 150 views on Instagram, over 100 views on Facebook. And that may not sound like a lot to many, but I'm the girl that may only get like 20 something views here, 40 something views here. So I'm thankful. And I don't take that for granted. Like, if my video was viewed over 100 times, like, that's significant to me and for me. And I'm so thankful and appreciative. And once again, for all the messages that have still been rolling in, been getting a lot of encouraging and positive messages just about everything that I'm doing and how I'm moving. I was speaking with my musical engineer and the studio owner of the studio that I work out of. Shout outs to you, Los. From the Red Velvet Music Studio. It's amazing. And he just, he's so encouraging. We were texting yesterday as I was rescheduling a studio session, and he was just like, yo, I was just showing somebody your performance when you was in South Carolina. Like, you about to blow up. Like, he's just so encouraging. And y'all know for me, it's really not quite about that. But I, if I'm being honest, I do want to be able to, share, the message that I have and point people in the direction of God and Jesus. But if I can make a good coin while doing it, I'm totally here for that too, just hearing his encouragement, is just amazing. And the fact that he's always speaking my name in rooms that I'm not in, I am so appreciative of that, because it's those simple things that go such a long way, y'all. And one thing that trip to South Carolina taught me and showed me is that this is what you're supposed to be doing, Chanel. Like, even my engineer, Los, he was like, yo, you were so calm. Like, and I said, for some reason, I was at peace. By the time they called me, I was like the sixth person out of eight people that got up there and sang or did something that night. And I said, by the time they called me, I just had this peace about me. I just felt at peace. And when I was up there, because my set must have been about 7 minutes, when I was up there, I felt at peace. Like, it felt like this is what you are supposed to be doing. Like, this is it, girl, and I'll never forget that feeling, right? Like, that feeling of almost that confirmation that this is what you're supposed to be doing. And I remember when I watched back the video, it took me a while to get the video that I kind of put in clips on social media. I didn't get the video till like 3 weeks later after the performance, because my sister-in-law and my brother were trying to figure out how to chop it down and get it to me, right? They didn't really want to chop it down. They wanted to give me the raw footage and then I do whatever I want to do with it, right? And they were trying to figure out how to do that, because the video was easily, I want to say my whole set might have been like eight minutes. That's long. So, my sister-in-law, shout outs to you, Yana, and I do need to give you credit on that video. She found a way to get it to me, almost like a WeTransfer kind of situation. But the difference is they have an Android and I'm an iPhone user. So that made it a little more complicated for them as well, right? But she found what is the equivalent of like a WeTransfer file transfer type of app to send the video to me. And when I watched it, because at that point it had been 3 weeks later, I was like, wow. I remember saying to myself, you were very calm. Like, you just seemed comfortable, confident in a good way, and calm. And I was like, Lord, that was all you. That was all you, And I think a part of it also was me knowing that we had traveled from so far to be there, that it was game time in the sense of don't forget your why and don't forget the purpose of all of this, right? Like, y'all literally jumped in the car and did this trip. It wasn't around the corner. It wasn't around the bend. Like, y'all did 10 plus hours. So that even gave me a different kind of focus. And so, I'll never forget that feeling of this is what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And so I want to encourage y'all out there that whatever it is that you, because I feel like God always will give us the hints and the traces. He'll always reveal to us in time what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But all throughout your life, there'll be, I feel like, little traces and little hints or visions that you have that almost are preparing you for what is to come. I really feel that way. And so you'll know you're on the right track. You'll get confirmation from different people, avenues, and situations. But once you're in the midst of doing what it is that you've been purposed to do, it'll feel so right. All the dots will connect. It'll all make sense, I promise you. And you'll be at peace with it. That's another thing. You'll be at peace, regardless of whether you're nervous or not. You'll be at peace and you'll have a certain confidence about you, a godfidence, if you will, about you, that you know this is from God and this is what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? And when I say godfidence, I mean a God-given confidence, where you're like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And that was my experience, which is why that particular trip will always stand out in my mind for so many reasons. And I'm excited for us to be able to go right back around there soon. So thank you for all the love and all the support. Like I said, it's a little overwhelming for me because I'm not used to it, but I'm so appreciative and grateful for each and every one of you who took the time out of your lives once again to share my music, to share my music video teaser, to comment under any of my posts, to direct message me encouraging words, to text me encouraging words when you see me face to face, to say it to me. Like, I'm so thankful. A lot of that goes a long way. You'll never know unless you're in the situation. And I'm just ready to continue forging forward. And I'm looking forward to what the month of April brings, because we're taking this thing month by month, planning ahead of time, but just taking the execution of everything month by month. And just seeing what God has for us to do and what he's about to do, you know. I'm just excited and happy. You know, I was excited to see that the video came out the way that I envisioned it. I had written the treatment to my music video, and just to see how vibrant the colors were. And I don't know if in the teaser everybody was able to tell, but the music video was also my homage to where I'm from. And I grew up and my childhood was spent in Mount Vernon, New York, a small 4 square mile town in Westchester that's literally right next door to the Bronx. That's where I grew up. And a lot of amazing artists have come from Mount Vernon, and I paid homage to Heavy D and the Boys. So in one of the scenes, it's that backdrop, a mural of Heavy D, God rest his soul, and the Boys. And that was important for me to do that. I wanted to showcase Mount Vernon. The whole video was shot in Mount Vernon. The second shot was in a different well-known place called Memorial Field in Mount Vernon. Anyone that's from Mount Vernon, you already know. And it was important for me to show love to where I'm from, where I was raised. And growing up, I'd be in elementary school and Heavy D would drive down the block in this huge black SUV playing stuff like "I Got Nothing But Love For You, Baby," or just blasting other artists' music. And he'd honk the horn when he'd always see us as kids in general in the neighborhood and the communities. And we'd be like, "Hey, what's up, Heavy D?" So like, I grew up walking about in town seeing Heavy D as a child, right? And he's always been one of my favorite artists. On every music playlist that I create for myself, Heavy D is always on there. It's my favorite song of his is "Is It Good to You? I Like It. Is It Good to Ooh, I Like It." One of my faves of his. And so it was important to me to show love to him, and for me to shoot this video in Mount Vernon. And so Mount Vernon was like, you know how in the series Sex and the City, Manhattan was like the fifth character. I would say in my music video, Mount Vernon was definitely one of the characters. And so I'm just so thankful that the vision that I even had for the video, and I wrote the treatment to be able to see it actually come to life was such a cool thing. And once again, shout outs to my cousin Jonelle, Gaza Twins Productions, because she was able to help bring it to life. And I wanted the vibrant colors. And I just love how it all worked out with the heavy D and the boys backdrop. And just, you know, I told my friends, you know, I want you to, in the scene that you're in, I want you to wear something that's 90s, but if it was 90s in 2024, if that makes sense. If the 90s went down in 2024, what would that fashion look like for you? And I left it to their own interpretation. And I just love it that the colors were cohesive. I love that little furry thing that I wore. Once it came in, that was a Shein buy as well. Once it came in through the mail, I realized, yeah, this is going to look good on camera. That was the one thing that I knew was going to look very vibrant and look great on camera. Everything else I wasn't too sure about. But I just love, you know, I'm someone who's always appreciated bright colors, and, you know, we're getting into spring and summer's around the bend. So I wanted it to feel visually like warm weather. In that day, we were about 50 something degrees. It might have been about 57, 56 degrees, slight chill, but it was cool. It was bearable. And it was partly cloudy, but it all worked out because it could have been a rainy day that day, right? You know, I decided, you know, for the location to be outside. That could have been a disaster. It could have been a rainy day. So just how God allowed everything to align and work out well. I'm just super thankful and excited. And it's so fun pushing my creativity to different levels. And yeah. So I want to encourage y'all out there. You know, you see me grinding and working and getting to it. And, you know, whatever it is that you are wanting to do and to achieve, and, you know, whatever God-given purpose you have that you're wanting to, you know, bring to fruition with God's help, like stick with it, stay at it. As I often say in my content, take it from me. Like, I didn't have a lot going on these last 2 years, and it was very discouraging at times, but when it's the right time, you'll know, and you'll be at complete peace about it, and everything will align. Because if it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. It's not going to be all of this chaos and craziness that you're combating, right? Like, when it's of God and it's supposed to happen, it's going to be smooth for the most part. Not to say you won't have some challenges along the way, but when things like this, whatever it is that you're putting your hands to do, you'll know when God is in it, because it'll just be seamless. At least that's my perspective. And so I want to encourage y'all out there to go for it, and, you know, to plan it out and consult with God and work hard, because work ethic is everything. I'm always going to be a stickler for having a strong work ethic, because, like I always say, talent will only get you halfway. It's not enough. But, you know, have that work ethic and that consistency and that drive and that due diligence to execute and get it done. Have the right people around you. I'm still learning about certain folks in my life, you know. You know, I see the ones when things are, you know, working out well, and there's some momentum happening and forward movement happening with what I got going on. I see the ones who are just encouraging and just pouring the love on. Not that I need people to like pour on the love, but you know what I mean? Like, the ones that are really showing love and just like speaking positive life and affirmations and all those things from the ones who are silent, right? So pay attention, you know, to the people around you, especially when things are starting to unfold in a positive way with whatever it is that you're doing. The ones who are readily like genuinely showing you love, pay attention to that. And the ones who are not, pay attention to that as well, you know. But I just thank you all, and I'm glad that I've been able to kind of like lock in and get these podcast episodes going. We're already at episode 4 of season 4. I'm excited about it. As I always say, I hope that something resonates with you, lands, and is of help with you that you can apply into your daily life. And you see, I did good. I didn't talk about the music industry and the craziness about it and the entertainment biz. We were talking about some psychological things. To my sensitive folks out there, don't feel no kind of way because you're sensitive. God created you and wired you to be the way you are for his own divine reasons and purposes, right? There's a certain thing about you that is necessary in the kingdom. And so don't feel no kind of way that you're sensitive. I have a loved one who never really seems to want to admit that they're sensitive. It's like, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive. In that sensitivity, if you find that you're taking everything personally or a lot of things personally, then maybe, you know, try to have a self-reflective moment and ask yourself the hard questions to get to the root of what is happening. But don't feel bad about being sensitive, okay? And for those of us who have a need to be liked, I get it, we're human. Nobody wants to walk around in this life being disliked, right? But just try not to put so much weight in what other people feel about you. If anything, really what God feels about us is what should stick and is what should make us lose sleep at night. So if we're not doing right by him and we're not living the way he wants us to live, then what he feels about us is what should make us lose sleep at night, right? But ultimately, let's strive to do right by people and to have grace, to give grace to others, and to just be able to show up loving on each other the way God would want us to, right? I'm trying to think. I wanted to say something else. I got a couple minutes left. What was I trying to say? Well, ultimately, love on the people in your life, because we don't know how long we're all here. We don't know how long we will have the opportunity to be able to see and speak with one another. So let's just love on each other and appreciate each other. I'm trying to think. There was something else I wanted to say. I don't know. I guess it wasn't meant for me to say it. But thank y'all so much for tuning in, and have an amazing week. Today's Tuesday, so we're still in the early stages of the week. Have an amazing week, a productive week, a fun week, right? We want to balance work life with play life, right? And I hope that you all had an amazing Resurrection Sunday. And we kind of kept it simple. My husband's been doing a lot of cooking lately, and I'm so glad because I've been tired, y'all. The way my son's sleep patterns have just been off the meters more than usual, it has made me a very sleep deprived person, and I have very involved jobs that I do, and I got a lot going on. And when I don't get sleep, I'm not the nicest of people. And so I'm glad that my husband has been really, kind of like stepping in with the cooking and stuff when he's not working. I'm appreciative of it. And, because I'm not your superwoman. I can't do it all. And, you know, raising a child and working from home, you know, which is a work from home and a stay at home mother, is not an easy thing. And so I'm just thankful that without even me having to communicate certain things, he's kind of came in to fill in the gap. And I appreciate that. Husbands, that'll go over so far with your wives, trust me. Because we get tired, we get exhausted, and you just can't do it all. And so if you're able to do the simple things like step in and clean real quick, or do a couple of loads of laundry, or cook a meal, that goes a long way, let me tell you, because we be exhausted. This mom life ain't the mom life, and the working full-time life ain't for the faint of heart. All right, y'all. So this is my time. Enjoy your week. And until next time.